This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to begin the second week of Easter here, looking at teaching from the Acts of the Apostles. The Church gives us each day this week, really yesterday, the continued unfolding of the life of the early Church, the post-Pentecost experience of the early Christian community. Yesterday at Mass, there's a wonderful read, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, which follows the story of the experience of Pentecost itself. And the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and Our Lady and others in the upper room, and they went forward from the upper room under the power of the Holy Spirit and began to proclaim the truth of what God the Father has accomplished in Jesus Christ. As St. Paul said, the mystery that was hidden for ages in God is now revealed. God's plan of salvation for the human race, the race fallen, separated from God, incapable on our own resources and power to restore ourselves to glory, to relationship with God, to overcome the sin and death problem. And God's solution is the offer of his beloved Son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. And Jesus came, and what Peter declares on Pentecost, the first to stand up under the anointing of the Spirit and to declare and to proclaim what God the Father has accomplished through the death and resurrection of Jesus. He concludes that proclamation by saying that let all of Israel know, that all the people of Israel know, representatives from the 12 tribes of Israel were all present on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost was a harvest feast, was also the commemoration of the memory of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. So Jews from all over were gathered, from all the tribes of Israel, gathered there in Jerusalem. And it was to those that Peter proclaimed the truth. He declared, he said, let all of Israel know, therefore, that God has made this Jesus Lord Christ. He is the Lord of all. All power and authority has been given to him. And at the heart of the Christian proclamation is the declaration that God has enthroned his Son Jesus, that the kingdom that Jesus proclaimed is begun now. The kingdom of God is laying hold of human hearts, that God's kingdom is being poured out, if you will, from the person of Jesus Christ, who has taken his place now at the right hand of the Father. And what we're talking about is the reign of the Messiah and the offer of salvation to come out of the kingdom of this world and to enter now the kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ, as Scripture says. The kingdom of the Lord and of his Christ. The kingdom of God is Jesus Christ reigning and ruling at the right hand of the Father. And we're called to enter into his rule under his authority, and you enter in and you become a member of that kingdom through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a work of God to which we surrender. And so then Peter goes on, as Peter preached, their hearts were stirred. And as people's hearts were stirred, they said to the apostles, they asked Peter and the apostles, what should we do? And Peter said, their hearts were turned. They began to believe. They wanted to accept. They said, we hear you. We believe that he's risen. We believe that he is Lord in Christ. So Peter said, therefore, repent. Turn now toward God. Move away from the direction that the self-centered direction or being trapped in and serving the kingdom of this world. Make a break from it. Turn toward God. Be God-directed now. So repent. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And we mentioned last week in our time together, I mentioned that thinking of Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 6, where he talks about baptism, that the old man, this body of death, which is death-directed, which is under sin, needs to be put to death. And Jesus literally died my death for me, but I'm united to that death in baptism. When I'm plunged into the waters of baptism, I die with Christ. So the Father's plan is that all the resistance and this death-directed resistance of my own fallen nature has to be put to death. And like Jesus, I die and I rise with him. And so I do it in the sacrament of baptism is when this happens. So I'm put to death. You know, he was put to death and raised for my justification. I'm put to death, and that justification that Jesus made possible for me, I'm given in baptism, a share in his life. So be baptized for what? For the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be Christian. So what we're seeing in the teaching now that will unfold throughout the Acts of the Apostles is the role of the Holy Spirit giving birth to the Christian community and becoming the source of life for the Christian community, guiding, empowering, enlightening. And that's really what it means to be a Christian. It means to be alive in the Spirit, to be a member of that community that Jesus established, a sign of the kingdom of God come on earth in his church, made accessible to everyone through the preaching of the gospel, and realized through baptism the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then entering in and living in his church. Peter went on to say, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other words and exhorted them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So the proclamation that Peter made was to literally come out of this world that is headed for ultimate condemnation and separation and judgment. Make a break now. The wrath of God is set against this crooked generation. That is this fallen world that resists God, resists the will of God and God's kingdom. And to be saved means to make a break from that world system, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, the powers that are at work. Make a conscious break and receive the way out. Lay hold of the lifeline. Take hold of the lifeline that God is throwing to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Peter says, save yourselves, right? He goes on, so those who received his word and were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of the bread, and the prayers. And what unfolds and what the church gave us yesterday at Mass, the first reading there, was this community that began to emerge. And you see the foundation stones, kind of the pillars of the community, the way of life of the Messianic community. Jesus, in the Spirit, established a pattern of life. And it was a community of people living together. And what were the four things, again, Peter lists here? They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. That teaching was accompanied by signs and wonders, confirming the words that were proclaimed by the apostles, carrying on the very ministry Jesus himself had done, which was his words were confirmed by signs and wonders. And Peter actually proclaimed earlier that day, saying in his message on Pentecost, that God himself bore witness to Jesus as his beloved son through signs and wonders, confirming the words that Jesus preached. Jesus said that signs and wonders would accompany all those who believe. It's meant to be a part of the church's life. Some people concluded that somehow the signs and wonders were meant for the life of the early church only and not for the church presently. The signs and wonders accompanied the preaching, as Paul said in Romans chapter 15 himself, when dealing with the question, how did his gospel go to the Gentiles? He said, through words and deeds, through signs and wonders, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how the Gentiles came to receive Jesus as Messiah and to enter his church. Well, that's the way the gospel is meant to be carried on and communicated throughout history, through the witness of life, through proclamation, words and deeds, through signs and wonders that confirm the words and the deeds, signs and wonders, healings, deliverance, right? Prophetic words, the manifestation, the presence of the Holy Spirit in the Messianic community. What does Messiah mean? We are following the Messiah. The Messiah means anointed. The church is that community in the earth that's anointed with the Holy Spirit. Receive the gift of the Spirit at baptism and a confirmation. And the Spirit's present in our lives and through all the sacraments and through the preaching of the church and the ministry of the church, because the church is empowered by the Spirit, is living by the Spirit. Now, it's possible for the Spirit given to us to be ignored, for us not to receive the gifts of the Spirit, or for us not to hunger and thirst, or as St. Paul said, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, the gifts the Spirit wants to bestow upon us. It's possible for large segments of the church to not pay attention to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, to ignore the Spirit, or to receive the sacraments unworthily, to not respond, to come to the sacraments in mortal sin, or to come in a condition where we're not in faith, ready to receive what the Lord wants to give us and to appropriate and to walk by the Spirit, as St. Paul puts it. So signs and wonders will accompany the preaching of the church when the church is alive, animated, and healthy. The recent popes have worked so hard to help us remember that. And I think it's part of what we need to lay hold of here. And I think the reflection the church gives us, the readings and the Acts, should be for us an encouragement, a sign of where the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. The Holy Spirit wants to lead each one of us to be devoted to the apostolic instruction, to the teaching of the apostles, to the fellowship or the communal life. It's called the koinonia. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We have family-type relationships with our brothers and sisters because we have the same life now flowing through us. We're born into a new family, the family of God, by virtue of the presence and power of the Spirit in our lives. The teaching of the apostles, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, which includes fellowship meals together, they shared meals together, but also means the Eucharist, the celebration of the Eucharist that gathers us together in communion, that really establishes that communion. Why? Because we all come and receive from the one bread. The one bread and body is the one Lord. And it's Jesus who gathers us together, and it's Jesus who feeds us. It's his Spirit that unites us into one body. And it's that Eucharist, that communion, that Jesus makes himself present to us, body, soul, divinity, in an entirely unique way. And together, we as the family of God literally feed off the Lord. He feeds us with his life. And that's what gives us life. And finally, the prayers. Apostles' instruction, the communal life, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. And they gathered in the temple on a daily basis to worship him. And you see that the gift of the Holy Spirit produced unity among the brothers and sisters, peace, even between Jew and Gentile, joy, and praise of God. Fundamental characteristics of life in the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. So what the Lord is doing in the redeemed community is he's gathering broken, sinful people and bringing them to new life through repentance, baptism, and new life in the Holy Spirit. And then he's forming them into a new way of life and giving him a share, giving us a share in his character through the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, his nature, which the fruits of the Spirit communicate. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness. That's all. It's really the character and life of Jesus. It's the person of Jesus. It's those who are following him now take on his character, his way of life. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us. We're little Christs. And to the degree that we walk in the Spirit, to that degree we will be conformed to the person of Jesus. The exhortation of St. Paul, he tells us, do not be conformed to this world and the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. A fresh new spiritual way of thinking, inspired by the Holy Spirit, led by the Lord, nurtured by his church. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.